All right. Welcome back, everyone. So we're continuing to discuss our summer Limud here. Much of what we do tonight in particular is going to deal with some outdoor activities, things of that nature, which are very, very important, things that become that much more relevant in terms of kids playing and what sort of toys and forms of recreation are acceptable in Shabbos, are smiled upon in Shabbos, are frowned upon in Shabbos, and the like. So let's pick up, I believe, from Se'if Hey here is where... Further. Here we go. Yeah, I think this is where we left off. I think at Yud, I believe. Okay, so let's talk about the following. Again, the kinds of things that kids may be foraging for on a Shabbos afternoon, especially as the weather is nice outside. So the sorts of things that they find outside, kids typically find and they pick up and they gather outside, nuts and stones, meaning inedible nuts and stones, and sticks, twigs, that are not even ra'uy la'achilas behema, they couldn't even be suitable for animal feed. Asurim heim betiltol. By the way, he puts in parentheses here, gal'ine mishmeif, apricot seeds, which apparently, I presume, and I think I've heard something to this effect, that those would probably be popular for some kind of game in particular, which is why he's emphasizing and highlighting, at least in Eretz Yisrael. So anyway, anything that isn't ordinarily used for food and isn't suitable for food, and in particular not even suitable for animal feed, is usher to be moved on Shabbos. All these items are muktzah, asur mehem betiltul. Unless they were specifically set aside during the day, saying that I am going to be using these for some other purpose, as a toy or for some sort of game, right? This is the joke. The guy who was visiting Eretz Yisrael, and he sees he's eating with a family, and he sees that there's a small pile of rocks in the corner, and he says, "Why is there a small pile of rocks in the corner? What's this? Why do you have rocks in the living room?" So, these rocks are muktzah, and Shabbos is not allowed to move them. So these we had to set aside ahead of time before Shabbos, because whenever the cars come driving by on Shabbos, these are the special rocks that we take to throw at the cars and to say, Shabbos, and we throw them at the cars. He says, okay, fine. Interesting custom. What do I know? He's eating with another family later on, come Shalosh Shabbos, and he's eating with another family. He sees in the corner these massive, massive stones, huge, huge stones that they've set up in the corner. He says, What's the story? He said, you don't know. Rocks are usher on Shabbos. You're not allowed to move them, prohibited to move them on Shabbos. He says, no, I know. The other family explained to me. I was eating with somebody else before. Not allowed to move them. So he set them aside. Why are they so big? So he said, we are not good for the shear of the Chazon Ish. So we have a very big rocks. Anyway, there's a lot of truth in that story and a lot of sadness perhaps in that story also. But anyway, the point is that, yes, if you want to be able to use rocks for any purpose, hopefully something more important than throwing them at cars, you would need to set them aside ahead of time on Shabbos. There was one point which some of my kids got the idea that they would collect a bunch of sticks and they would paint them, and they had them painted in like different animal prints, like tiger and leopard, different like prints, and they would use them for games and whatever. So those became what they're on Shabbos. They were clearly set aside for that purpose before Shabbos, and therefore they became what they're on Shabbos in a similar capacity, although it's actually a different muktzah status. But I don't know if you've ever done this before, but an old phone becomes a great like play phone for kids. So if it's a phone that you're no longer using and they want to be able to play house and dress up and whatever, so an old phone gets thrown into the toy bin. So again, that's clearly being set aside for Shabbos. It's now being used and being repurposed as a toy. So that's a similar sort of situation. Not quite the same, but a similar situation. But unless they're set aside ahead of time on Shabbos, kids are not permitted to move sticks and to move stones and to move rocks and to move, acorns and things like that. Havanim. Oh, sure. Gilim was sachek, but osam ha'akelos. Or if it's, even if they haven't strictly speaking been set aside, but it's part of like a group of sticks that, these are the ones that they always play with and always play from. Havanim ha'akelinim gam bimosachol. These are the kinds of things that they play with specifically also during the week. So then it would be acceptable if you have, maybe like gravel or crushed stone or something like that. And the kids are always using them, during the week to whatever it is, throw at each other or play some sort of game. So maybe, if there's a specific collection that are always used also during the week, then that would be acceptable. We spoke last time about, let's say, a sandbox, right? So sandbox, even though sand is really in this same category as being something that's inherently useless, so therefore is mukta on Shabbos for this same category of stam etzim v'avanim. Nevertheless, it would still be mukta on Shabbos because it's clearly been set aside ahead of time to be able to play with. But there is no heter to move these. Let's say these are, and I think he's coming back to the apricot seeds, which I guess were very popular to be used for some kind of game. So like if you remove a peach pit on Shabbos, there's no way of saying that that's something that would be used, that was reserved. I'm going to be using it. The peach pit didn't exist. It was stuck inside of a fruit, this plum pit, this apricot pit, these cherry pits, things like that. Couldn't be used on Shabbos. By the way, it's just something to be aware of. I don't know necessarily want to play with them, but you know, it's stone fruit season now, and it's cherry season now, where you have all of these seeds and pits that end up on the table. We should be aware that insofar as it may well be mutter to clear them from the table because they're gross, they're disgusting, we don't want to keep them out, and that becomes its own heter to be able to handle items that are mukta, to be able to clear them away from the living space on Shabbos. We should be aware that these things are mukta. They are mukta. So simply to like toss around or move kind of absentmindedly, you know, push like pistachio shells around on the table, or cherry pits around on the table, sort of absentmindedly. Or even if the kids are doing it, we should just be aware. Start playing like table hockey or table football with these things. We should just be aware that there is a problem of mukta here when it comes to any item that is inherently purposeless and cannot be eaten. Really is also mukta. We shouldn't be playing with it. We shouldn't be even absentmindedly sort of moving it around on Shabbos. Speaks about something. Again, this is clearly some game. Mishak chamesh avanim mutter l'sachek bo. So it is mutter to play with it, to play this game, five stones. Not sure exactly, but aval im nevda even achas, if one of the stones is lost, then also lakachas even acheres shlahesa omedes le'eze shehu shimush im kinisas hayom. The point is that these are stones that have been set aside. It's part of like this play set. So these are the ones that we're using for this game. Maybe something along the lines of like, you know, a more rustic version of mancala. So we play mancala with those beautiful glass beads that sometimes you put inside of like a vase or something like that for decorative purposes. So those are really for home decor. They wouldn't be mukta in the first place. But you can imagine that maybe in a more, again, rudimentary, rustic kind of capacity, maybe when the ancients were playing mancala out there, maybe they were just playing with stones. So let's say you're playing mancala and you're sitting outside on the back deck and one of the pieces is lost. So I'm not going to bother going inside and trying to find something else. Just pick up a rock off the ground and we'll use that as a sub for one of the pieces. Just come up with other games also. You lose a checker. Right, playing checkers, and you lost a checker, then you take them all out, and somehow or another you're missing a couple of them, one or two of them. So just picking up a rock, picking up a stone, or you know, a dried out, I don't know, peach pit that was just sitting on the table. So again, you have to be careful and conscious of all these items that actually are themselves mukta on Shabbos. Okay, good with that. The basic categorization of mukta. Comfortable enough with that? Questions on that? Okay. Okay. All right, great. Okay, let's take a look at your base. Mutter l'hachnis tumunos la'album tumunot. It is mutter to put pictures inside of a picture album on Shabbos. This is more of just not exactly a game, but recreation. One of those things that maybe we've been pushing off and now we want to get around to doing on Shabbos and it's fun. Sit around with some other members of the family maybe and you put pictures into the album. Ubilvad, however, you have to be careful. Shalogi mayen es hatmunos lifnei siduram ba'album. As long as you're not pre-sorting them. So sometimes there could be a little bit of staging that takes place with picture albums, right? You're kind of deciding ahead of time which ones you're going to keep and which ones won't you keep. This is largely, I think a lot of this has been cut down with the advent of digital cameras and capturing of digital images, that no longer do you have to develop, you know, rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls of film only for the sake of a hand few of actually individual photos that really come out and that are album worthy. Now you can sort of pre-select as you're sending them over to Snapfish before you actually have to decide to even order them and even pay for them in the first place. So I think there's probably less of this, but nevertheless, maybe you want to arrange them based on, I don't know, they somehow or another all got stuffed into a box and they're out of chronological order and you want to sort them, or you want to do it by child or this, that, or the other thing. So you just have to be careful that you don't go about sorting them. Sorting them, almost any way you slice it, is going to involve Borer in some capacity or another. So you have to be careful that you don't do that. But if you're simply taking them out of a box and putting them into an album, just so you can then look at them, that would be mutter on Shabbos. You also have to be careful. You also have to be careful not to stick them into an album. So I haven't seen these in a while. I don't even remember the last time we like loaded up a real album with pictures. Now, I don't know, get very into like the Snapfish like books, and you just get it printed directly onto the paper, and they're kind of fun. But even so, usually there's like an individual slot for each photograph to actually be inserted into. The old albums that we used to have, like when I was growing up, it was a page. It was like a hard cardboard stock page with like a plastic film over it, and you would peel back the plastic film. And it would be coated with some kind of low-grade adhesive that would just basically barely kind of like allow the pages to cling to the pictures, or the pictures to cling to the pages. You'd stick them wherever it is that you wanted them, a sort of like free form, and then you'd cover it back over with plastic, old school picture albums. So that would be a problem. That would be a problem on Shabbos. That is a potential issue of kosher, maybe an issue of makom bepatish, of completing the actual processing of the item and allowing the item to find its full purpose. Or again, it might be an issue of kosher. Kosher we usually think of as tying two things together, but even using adhesive to more or less permanently affix something to another surface is also a potential problem of kosher. V'af lo yachnis es hatamunos la'album yapani. I don't know what this is talking about. I don't know if anybody can help me out. It sounds like he's talking about a Japanese album. I don't know what that is. Any takers on this? I tried Googling this. I really did. I came up with a bunch of things on like Etsy with like picture albums with like embroidered, you know, like, I don't know, images of cherry blossoms and Mount Fuji on the front. Anyway, no takers on this. Nobody knows what we're talking about. Okay. So anyway, you have to be careful. Those are some of the issues you have to be careful of when you're putting pictures into an album on Shabbos. Kerah Tumunus Nidbakos Besocha album, they're going to stick. Somehow or another, there's again some kind of adhesive, something. They're going to stick into the album on Shabbos. That is problematic. Something that we're probably pretty convinced of, but Asur L'Kayer B'Plastalina, the chomer, b'shava, b'geves, v'chayotze ben, talking about all different kinds of materials, plaster-like materials, plaster and wax and all these kinds of things are usher to be used on Shabbos. V'chein gam usher l'tzekes geves l'soch tavnis kolshehu, or to pour plaster into a mold on Shabbos is also problematic. This could involve kosave. This could potentially involve lush. All these things are usher. So I don't know that we're really doing any really significant arts and crafts on Shabbos, but a place where this potentially does come up and just something to be mindful of is something like Play-Doh, which does he speak about? I thought that he spoke about, no, maybe not. Or maybe we already did this. I don't recall. I thought he speaks about this someplace. Maybe we saw this already. But modeling clay and things like that, modeling clay or Play-Doh, things where you're actually creating real shapes. So creating real shapes on Shabbos is a problem. It's actually a problem of kosave. So kosave we usually think of as some sort of ink on paper, but it's actually the creation of any meaningful sort of image. Now that image, yes, can be two-dimensional, but if it's three-dimensional, that is also problematic. So if you take like Play-Doh and maybe at least forgetting about mukzah for a moment, but just simply squeezing it, you know, squeezing it like you would a stress ball, probably not any sort of isser on Shabbos or similar with silly putty. However, having said that, forming it into some sort of real shape, making little, even though it's only temporary, forming it into a shape, forming it into a flower, forming it into a star, forming it into a heart or a little person or a little figurine, that really would be problematic on Shabbos.
that would be an issue of kosev. So something to be mindful of. Again, even if we're not necessarily pouring plaster and things like that, but we should just be conscious of not creating shapes out of these kinds of things. This is true also with food. This is also true of food, both in terms of kosev and then also in terms of mochek. So if we create three-dimensional, not only letters, but three-dimensional objects out of food on Shabbos, that's also a problem. Example, using cookie cutters, let's say, to create not just like abstract designs, but let's say using the cookie cutter to get like a heart or a star shape out of watermelon. And then leaving those all out on a platter. That is problematic. That would be an issue of kosev on Shabbos. Similarly, in terms of mochek, right, which is the undoing basically of kosev, the undoing of that which has been written. So not only do you need to be mindful of, let's say, a cake on Shabbos that has lettering on it, but even a cake that has, let's say, images of flowers, three-dimensional flowers and things like that, you want to take the entirety of that flower and eat it as you would in terms of derech achila, but not to cut through it prematurely. That would be a potential problem of mochek on Shabbos. Okay, trying to think if there are other examples there. We've spoken about kosev a little bit in the past, about using like bananagram tiles and things like that being acceptable. But there you're dealing with letters that are already prefab, and you're simply arranging the letters next to one another in order to spell something that then becomes meaningful. So that's mutter as long as they're not interlocking pieces, as long as they're not things that are going to become affixed against some kind of backing that hold them in place, that hold them together. Otherwise, that would be mutter. Here, where you're actually forming the item, the object, the shape, the design in the first place, that's all problematic on Shabbos. Okay.
Rabbi? Yeah, Rabbi? Have we already talked about Lego and kids playing with Legos on Shabbos?
Yeah.
I missed last week.
No. We have not yet talked about Lego. Lego is coming up in about 4 CEF, and we're going to get there.
Okay.
We're going to end, okay? So, very, very
important. Legos and magnet tiles.
What's that?
What about magnet tiles when you get to the Lego baby conversation?
If I forget to talk about magnet tiles, but let's assume right now that it'll be the same, basically the same premise as Legos, more or less.
Okay, thank you.
We'll get there, Mirtz Hashem. Okay, let's take a look at Yud Dalet. Interesting one, and I don't know if these are still quite as popular as they were. But Tzatzuim, let's look at Yud Dalet. Tzatzuim hamamonaim aydei kafitz kegon mechoniot. He's speaking about things that operate through springs, like wind up toys and things like that. I don't even know if you could get these things anymore, but like, you know, these used to be all the rage, like a little wind up tie, the chattering teeth and like little bugs that, you know, skitter across the ground and cars, kagon mechoniot, robotim l'minehem, little robots, mechanical robots, little cars. You don't have to object to kids playing with these on Shabbos. But if they are the variety that as they crank forward, you have pieces of metal that are meant to specifically scrape one another and produce sparks, that's a big problem. Or if it's meant to actually produce a sound, and if it does produce a lot of noise, and more than just the grinding of the actual gears, but if it's producing a real sound, then aim kol hetelasachek bahem. This is the problem of hashmas kol in general. You can't use the sorts of things on Shabbos that produce a real audible and intrusive kind of sound, and certainly creating sparks and fire is a problem of mavir, of actual creation of sparks or of a fire on Shabbos. But otherwise, these items that simply operate on gears, there's no actual electrical current pulsing through these things, then those would be mutter on Shabbos. We spoke a little about getting into a tree on Shabbos. Now, more directly, asur tafes al ilan. It's asur to climb a tree on Shabbos. V'chein sulam shenishan al ha'ilan. And this is where it becomes important, not only for kids, but even for adults. V'chein sulam shenishan al ha'ilan. It's not only asur to climb a tree, which most adults, I think, don't do. Although every now and again, you might want to try to help a kid get a ball out of the tree. We spoke about that previously, that is asur. You can't pull things out of trees on Shabbos. You really can't touch a tree on Shabbos. You certainly can't jostle a tree on Shabbos. Even climbing up a ladder that is leaning against the tree on Shabbos is problematic, even if the ladder had already been there from Erev Shabbos. Af mi ba'od yom, even if it was there from Erev Shabbos. Asur alos alav, he still can't climb up that ladder. Aval, however, mutter l'tafes al mivne barzel o mivne etz, it is mutter to climb on, let's say, a metal structure or a wood structure. So the issue here specifically is that of a tree. This ultimately is an extension of kotzer, there being or tolesh, there's the concern about snapping twigs off as you do and just losing yourself and not being mindful of that prohibition as you get into climbing up the tree. So this is an important notion. This is going to continue into the next sif, that not only is it usher to climb the actual tree, it's also usher to use the tree in any direct sort of capacity on Shabbos. Anytime you have an object or an item that is either leaning against or supported by a tree, using that item on Shabbos is also usher. So hence, it's mutter to climb a ladder on Shabbos, mutter to climb a staircase. It is usher to climb a ladder that's leaning against a tree, because now you're not only using the ladder, you're also using the tree. Oh, this is the case. So if you have a freestanding swing set, nothing to worry about. But what about a swing that's actually attached to a tree? What about a swing that is wrapped around, the ropes or the chains are actually wrapped around, let's say, a strong, you know, low-hanging limb off the tree or high-hanging limb off the tree, a tire swing, one of those like spider net swings that are very popular now, or even like a baby swing. So what about that being tied to a tree on Shabbos? Am I then using the tree? What about a hammock? What about a hammock that's suspended between two trees? Can you use that on Shabbos? So this is really like Maisa B'chol Yom. This happens every single Shabbos. Let's take a look at Tesayin. Mutter lehis nadne binadneda uva arsal. It's mutter to swing on a swing or to swing in a hammock on Shabbos. V'hu shelo yihya kvum be'ilan. And this is only on condition, only so long as they're not actually inserted or they're not driven into a tree. V'lu rak mitzad echad, even if they're only driven into the tree on one side, that's still problematic. So if you have, let's say, on the one side, you have a hammock stand, but on the other side, there's actually a peg that's driven directly into the tree, that becomes usher on Shabbos. Again, Hashimosh, be'ilan usher, because it's usher to use a tree on Shabbos, that's using a tree. You are using the tree to hold up this item that you're now enjoying, that you're now swinging on or laying in, that's usher on Shabbos. However, the imheim nikba'imi ba'od yom b'mot shechubar le'ilanos, if, however, from before Shabbos, it was inserted, it was attached to a peg or to a rod that itself was attached to the tree, and also that the trees are strong enough that you're really not moving the tree. You're really not, the limb is significant enough or it's tied directly around the trunk. You're swinging on the hammock that's strung, that's suspended between these two 75-year-old, 100-year-old oaks in your backyard. You're not moving those trees in any which way. So if the hammock itself isn't really directly driven into the tree, isn't directly wrapped around the tree, but rather there's some other like apparatus. There's something else that first attaches to the tree, and then the hammock attaches to that, that would be mutter. Shekein ein mishtamshim mishtamishim b'mikreze b'ilanos ba'ofen yashir. In this instance, you're not really directly using the tree. Elarak b'emtzaus davar acher. Tzidei tzdadim, as the Gemara says, when it comes to using a tree, you're not using the tree itself. You're not using the tzad of the tree. You're using tzidei tzdadim. You are using something. You're using another object, another element that, yes, is being supported by the tree, but you're not being supported by the tree. What you're using is not being supported by the tree. It's being supported by something that's being supported by the tree. So when you're talking about something being two steps removed, to that degree, Chazal did not institute this prohibition. Obviously, you couldn't actually set it up on Shabbos itself. That would be an issue of tikkun klif, tikkun mana, maybe of bona. That would be problematic. That would be problematic on Shabbos. In most cases, I've found this to be true. In most cases, I've found that usually the way that these things are set up is man hazeh, when you get the kit, is that there is something else that you're first wrapping around the tree, and then through like a series of those like C clamps, you're then attaching the sling, you're then attaching the hammock to that other mechanism that itself is attached to the tree. But it is something to be very, very mindful of. If you're going to go about setting this sort of thing up in your yard before Shabbos, and obviously just getting a freestanding frame, you're in no trouble whatsoever. But otherwise, it's something to be, at least to be mindful of, but I've found that very often it's pretty easy to steer clear of this. Okay, another really, really important issue. What about a tlat ofen? What about a tricycle on Shabbos? Bicycles, we're assuming right now, bicycles are really usser. That seems to have been readily and widely accepted in both, at this point anyway, in both the Sephardic and Ashkenazic communities. There is a famous tshuva from the Ben Ish Chai in which he was matir bicycles, bike riding on Shabbos. It hasn't, there are suggestions made afterwards that if the Ben Ish Chai knew the manner in which these things were being used, he was speaking about it from afar. He said he's heard about such a thing being utilized by like couriers in India. I don't know, would this be problematic? If he had seen the way in which they were really being used, then he maybe would have felt otherwise. It's sort of irrelevant. Who knows what he would or wouldn't have. The fact of the matter is that this is basically ubiquitous minhag in both the Sephardic and Ashkenazic communities today. We don't ride bikes on Shabbos. What about tricycles? So Kevin Shenekos Shetzatzua Hayeladu. Since it's very clear that this is something that is being used by a child. Einlim Noas Yelad Mither Kovalav B'Soch HaBayis. So you don't have to prevent a kid, stop a kid from riding through the house on a tricycle on Shabbos. Now remember, Rav Neuvert is not coming over to clean up your house afterwards. So if you want to put a stop to a child riding a tricycle through your house for other reasons, because you don't want all the tables overturned and you don't want the skid marks all over your floors, then that's between you and the other members of your household. But meanwhile, from a strict Shabbos perspective, says Rav Neuvert, this is mutter. Malcolm Shiesh Erev Chatzeres Kam Michutzalo. You can even ride outside if there's an Erev. That's what he was driving at when saying that you can ride indoors, meaning to say if there's no Erev, so then it's a non-issue, it's a non-starter riding outside. But if there's an Erev, so ensure you can ride outside also. Why? This is such an important piece. Because it's clear that this is a child's toy. The tov la'asir sapa'amon shabo mibo yom, and it's best to remove the bell on Erev Shabbos, that he doesn't inadvertently use the bell. You're not allowed to use the bell, so it's really best to completely remove it. But you can't ride a bike on Shabbos. Even if it is a bike that is made specifically for children, it too much resembles the sort of thing that is being used by adults. Also, there may be any number that Titeliezer wrote a long tshuva about it being usher to ride bikes on Shabbos. What everyone seems to agree with is the fact that riding a bike on Shabbos would be what we call an uvda dechol. That it's the sort of, it may be even worse than that, meaning it may be something that we can even define a little bit more directly as being problematic of malacha, at least of malacha midrabanan, using anything that's actually used for sort of long distance transportation in of itself may come under the prohibition against riding animals on Shabbos, might be problematic in of itself. But even without that, it at least being an uvda d'chol and it giving the appearance and it giving the sense of something that is just not Shabbos day. This is a very, very, I gave a shiur actually, I think last summer about this. I think this is a very interesting point and a very important point that's made by Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa here, that a tricycle specifically, because it's the sort of thing that everybody knows that this is a child's toy. It's one of the things that I still grapple with, still struggle with, at what point to tell children to and to not. Especially when you only have control over your own children and everybody has to be free to make their own decisions. And then what happens sort of like on a communal level, this is always the challenge. And what I'm referring to specifically is scooters. Scooters is one of these issues that kind of slips through the cracks here. What exactly is it? For the most part, it seems like it's a child's toy, and yet adults absolutely do ride scooters. They make adult scooters. They're there. They're made for scooters. It's not necessarily as problematic as a bicycle, in part because they're not as widespread, in part because they're not viewed as the sort of thing that you take over great, great distances. They're also less complex in terms of the actual machinery and the mechanism. That's one of the concerns that the Tzitz Eliezer has, that you use something that's so complicated on Shabbos that can so lend itself to just correcting the chain, correcting the gear, which would be totally also, that would be a real Isra Doraisa of perfecting a Kli on Shabbos. So those kinds of things don't usually apply to a scooter. Nevertheless, is it completely and wholly appropriate? Is it like an Ovda Dechol? Is it the kind of thing that sort of smacks of weekday type work and type labor? So anyway, this is something that we struggle with in my house. And at least for now, I'm simply passing the struggle on to you as well. It's something to consider. Do you feel like a Shabbos stick? Do you feel like it's not so Shabbos stick? Is it the kind of thing that they're always doing all throughout the week? And therefore maybe, at least at some age, we should try to pull back on a little bit. Certainly once it gets to a point that, even adults remember that once you're 12 or 13, then it automatically becomes the kind of thing that adults are also using. So do we say that, yeah, but it's only used for Shabbos or it's really a Shabbos toy? I think it's challenging to do so. I would recommend making this sort of consideration that at some age kids are no longer, riding scooters on Shabbos. When, why, how exactly is probably more a delicate subject and a more involved conversation for another time, but putting it out there, at least in the interim, for everyone's consideration. I do want to make sure that we get a little bit further to talk about blocks. We're basically there. By the way, one other point is, b'malchim shenagu iser b'tlas ofen, in an environment, in a community where nobody rides tricycles, then ain lahakel, then you shouldn't do it. You can't do it. V'adin l'gabe galiot, which is the same for skating, which is the same for skates. Again, another, right? I don't think anybody, it's very, very rare that I've seen somebody use skates on Shabbos in any sort of like public fashion. It's not especially or appreciably different from scooters. You tend to get maybe a little sweatier. It feels a little bit more like exercise maybe. Anyway, also an interesting point that in a scenario in which people don't do it, that's also something to be conscious of. That following whatever seems to be the minhag ha-makom, that if there is a particular zehirus, that people are particularly cautious and careful with respect to the mode and the atmosphere on Shabbos, vis-a-vis a certain type of either recreation or kind of toy or kind of tool, then we need to be mindful of that and need to make sure that that's not being used in that community on Shabbos. So pay close attention to minhag ha-makom, before you go away for Shabbos and you start unpacking, oh, I brought my kids, tricycle with us and whatever, put it on the roof rack. Is it okay if he rides around? Make sure you have a real grasp on what the minhag ha-makom is, wherever it is that you might land. Okay, yuches, important. Ein limnoas hayeladim milivnot bikubiyot uv'avnei pele al kol mineihem. We should not stop kids from playing with blocks and avnei pele, wonder stones. Wonder blocks. I assume he's talking about a very specific type of block that probably was popular. He does just note at the bottom here, and this is, I don't know, we've dealt with these shiurim previously, be conscious and be mindful of the packaging in which they come. Is it mutter to even open the package on Shabbos? That's another consideration. But meanwhile, says Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, there's no problem with letting kids play with blocks on Shabbos. Haval yesh tzarech lechaber sachalakim baburagim. But if it's, I think he's talking about something like, let's say, an erector set, right? If they are pieces that don't just very easily are put together and then come immediately apart, but they actually have to be screwed together in some manner. So then, olotokam zeba zehetev, they really have to be stuck together very, very well. Then, usher. I don't think that would apply to, let's say, something like Lego. It's true that Lego actually do stick to one another. I don't think he mentioned, yeah. It's true that Legos do stick to one another, but they can vary. Legos, Duplo, they can just as easily come apart. They're stuck together. They're come apart. It is the case that every now and again, when my kids will come to me and when they get like the two thin pieces, you know what I'm talking about, that are stuck right on top of one another, they can't like pry them off. That will happen every now and again, but that's not really the basic function and functionality and the manner in which the toy is meant to be used. It's meant to be temporary. It's true, there are Lego aficionados and Lego, what's a more insulting, mishugayim, I guess is the word I'm looking for, who convert their basements into Lego worlds. And you have to wonder at some point, you have to wonder at some point, when you're you know, 45 years old and you spend all your time in your basement playing with Lego, like maybe. Anyway, again, that's also another shear for another time. But it's true. It's true that there are people who will put it together and they'll leave it forever and it'll be a showpiece. You'll have it on display. And like you go to Lego World and they made the, you know, the Death Star out of Lego. It's true. It can be used in that capacity also. But, you know, bear in mind, like going back to the, you know, sandcastles also, I don't know, can be, you know, sprayed and can be preserved. And then it could be, you know, artwork like forever and ever. So the point is that they are meant to be temporary. So that's true of Legos. I think it's certainly true. Al haskam v'kama. All the more so should that be true of magnetiles, which come apart and come, or it's only that very, very low level adhesion by the magnetic force that holds them together, but are clearly meant to be put together and come back apart. I think what he's talking about more is like erector sets where you have real actual screws and nuts that really hold things together. It's true, it's meant to be a toy, but that's a real sturdy binion that you're using. And that is more likely to run afoul of Boneh. Maybe Makeh B'Patish, and at the very least, probably of the Dechol, because it so closely resembles construction. But for other things, putting it together and then taking it apart wouldn't be problematic. I think we're going to talk about this when it comes to puzzles. But one of the things to be to just be cautious of is it's one thing to say that the functionality of Lego is that you put it together and you take it apart. But if the idea is, oh, we're going to build something, the Shabbos everything is going to be the greatest thing ever, and we're going to leave it for a year. So that you shouldn't do. That you shouldn't do. Whatever it is that you are doing on Shabbos, it should be clear even as you're building it that the intention is to deconstruct it some point shortly thereafter. And not that we're going to leave it as a showpiece forever and ever. That would be problematic in and of itself. But again, the manner in which it's typically and supposed to be used renders this mutter to be done on Shabbos. Again, be mindful of packaging and how it's being opened and tearing through letters and try to get all that done and taken care of ahead of time before Shabbos. Okay, well, let's hold it here. Any questions on anything that we covered this evening?
Yeah, just on the Lego. So are you saying that it's okay for children to play with Lego, build and take apart? What about adults? Is it okay for it?
So I'm saying
it's better not to.
For adults, it's better not to, only in the sense that it's better for adults to not play with toys on Shabbos. Meaning?
I'm thinking about like an adult playing with a child.
Right, I understand. So that's something, and I pointed this out at the very beginning. That's not something that here, at least in these pages, and I can't even roll back to that, I don't think, because I have, this is, this doesn't go all the way back to the beginning, this photocopy. That Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa at the very beginning, I think like the opening piece here, he said, everything that we're discussing here is only for kids. Why? Because adults shouldn't be wasting their time. Adults shouldn't be treating Shabbos like it's just a day of game playing and silliness. Shabbos is a serious day. We should be involved in very, very holy and very special things. Now, I think we would, and without any sort of commentary on what was versus what's better and do we know more? Do we know less? Irrelevant. I think what we have right in front of our very eyes is the reality that engaging with our children through play, we know that right now today, that seems to work. That seems to be a big gain. So, I think about Shabbos largely as a day when you can kind of like sprawl out on the floor and have the opportunity to play with your kids in a way that you can't during the week. That's not up for discussion seemingly so much in the words of Rav Neuwirth himself. So when we did that, and I would just make the same point again here, we can't be too dismissive of that. We can't be too dismissive of that as much as we might not be prepared and might not be wise to be fully embracing of that either. So I think there's something of this like tension that we always need to kind of feel caught within. On the one hand, Shabbos is supposed to be a day that's when, you know, I asked it, and I think every child asks and says, Shabbos is supposed to be a day of rest, then why can't I rest however it is that I want to rest? Why can't I leave the TV on and just like watch the Mets game this afternoon? That's how I want to rest. That's how I want to kick back. That's how I want to enjoy. I want to change into shorts, and I want to like sit on the couch, and I want to watch a baseball game with, with like a soda in hand. What's so terrible? Why is that wrong? So the reason why that's wrong is because we make a big mistake when we start to translate menucha as rest. right? Rest and recreation and enjoyment mean very, very different things in English and a very different connotation in English than the terms menucha and oneg do in Lashon HaKodesh. So Shabbos is a day that is regal. Shabbos is a day that it's a commune with the Borei Olam. I mean, it's 1/60th. It's a taste. It's a shmektabik of Olam Haba. It's an extraordinary day. It's a transcendent day, and you spend too much time on the floor with the with the Legos, and you don't feel that transcendence. Now, if you are busy basking in transcendence, the other thing that you don't feel is a relationship with your children. And especially Bizman Hazeh, children and adults both are craving relationship and need to have that relationship. So I think we should be mindful of both. I think we should be mindful of both. So having said that, Zerifka, really to answer your question, anything that is an actual malacha, remember it is not recommending for children and is saying that these are the kinds of things that we have to stop our children from doing. You can't do it. So meaning if building with blocks was an actual issue of bone, or was an issue of tikkun mana, or was a direct issue of the dechol, so then no, it wouldn't be mutter for children to do that, even of the dechol, right? Then it wouldn't be mutter for children to do that on the one hand. On the other hand, even though we're saying that there's license for children to do that, so that yes, therefore, there's no real clear isser that's being violated when parents engage. And parents and grandparents probably very much in today's day and age do need to engage. We should still be mindful. We should still be mindful of Shabbos. We should understand that Shabbos is meant to be something greater and beyond that. Again, you get lost in a cloud of transcendence. And there are people around here who really, really need your attention. You know, it's like you could have somebody who's sitting at the table and he's shuffling and he's swaying and, oh, it's so beautiful. And Zmiros and Gavaldik, it's wonderful. And meanwhile, like his spouse and children are all giving him like the stink eye because like they're busy bustling around like clearing the table and backbreaking labor all while he's enjoying like his own Eid Shabbos. So there's this, I don't know that those conversations and those concerns were quite as pronounced, let's say, as they are today, but that's irrelevant. They are pronounced today. They're a reality today. We have to grapple with them. We have to deal with them. So let's deal with both. Let's be mindful of both. Let's be mindful that Shabbos, yes, is meant to be a day that's so much more than just playing with toys, but also that playing with toys is, at the very least, like that we should view this as, I am entering into this because I really want to have a relationship with this child or with this grandchild or with this niece or this nephew. Like that's what I'm doing, or with a spouse or with a friend. We're connecting today over bananagrams and halavai. We should all just be able to sit around and share vartlach and talk about the parsha and halavai. But what do we end up doing instead? Look, I'll be as gentle as possible, but I'm not convinced that reading mishpacha is any better than playing with toys. Mishpacha and Hamodia, they are sanitized publications, but I'm not sure that they're catapulting you to cloud nine, that rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you get from learning a sefer. So let's just be real. Let's be real about how we're spending our time, what we're doing, and let's try to make it meaningful, and let's try to make it impactful. If we're using it to connect with our children, grandchildren, people, friends, that's really, really important. But let's also always be mindful that we should be striving for something a little holier and more sanctified. And it should be with at least that slight krechts of like a halavai. I wish we were all just sitting around and learning together. Wouldn't that be beautiful? But also trying to be real and connect with the real people who we have around us here in this very, very real world of ours. Okay.
Rabbi, so because if the Legos are okay, then we think, is the magnetiles okay?
Allah has kama l'kama, all the more so, because they're just being held together by magnetic force. They're not even interlocking, so all the more so.
Right. So now, how about the game Blockus, where you're taking those little colored chips and they sit in a
and they actually
in a specific spot?
Yeah. 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 So I don't think that's problematic. That could potentially be a problem of co-save, but it's not co-save because they're not meaningful shapes. They're not meaningful shapes and nor are they actual words. So if you had some sort of game of that fashion where you're actually trying to complete a picture, We'll talk about puzzles where you're actually trying to complete a picture, or you're actually trying to spell an actual word. That would be more problematic, because then you have words or letters that are actually being held together in that like Miss Gareth and that.
Right. We had a traveling Scrabble set.
Good.
Each of the letters sat in the thing, and we knew we couldn't use that on Shabbos because it's more official.
That game, Blockus, and there's also another one, Circus, I think, where it's like more circular shapes. Those would be mutter on Shabbos. The patterns that are being created are not meaningful as patterns or as shapes or as.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, everyone. Let's hold it here. We're up to Yod Tes, and Mirtz Hashem will pick up next week. Thanks for taking the time. Sorry we went a little late, and thanks for hopping on so late.
Rabbi,
thank you.
Rabbi, when are you planning vacation?
What's that?
When are you planning vacation?
After Tisha B'Av. After Tisha B'Av. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Take care, everyone. Have a good night.